I just blew my top, screaming and shouting at him, screaming and shouting, Luma wife.
When I went to Screwfix, the prize bundle was 10 grand.
And do you know what? I still massively struggle with the kids. Yeah. They can send me from 0 to 300 mph in a second.
do you find as well, because obviously looking at you, don't take this the wrong way, but you do look... So, again, I'll do it again because I've been corrected and told off for not doing it right. If you want to win £250 worth of Power Tool Mate vouchers to spend on Power Tool Mate store, big thanks to Power Tool Mate, all you've got to do is guess the circumference of Mark's head. So for those watching,
noggin,
hit us in the comments below and leave your answer in the comments of how many. Do we want it in centimetres or?
Are we on this? There you go.
You want it in centimetres or inches, Mark?
Centimetres.
So we need it in centimetres. We're going metric here, not imperial. And we need the circumference of Mark's head to win the vouchers. Leave your comments. Leave your answer in the comments, I should say. Happy, Nathan?
Happy.
Yes. So episode 21, Trade Legends, we are back again. I've got a guest host who's got a better body, better looking, and doesn't give me any shit. Welcome back, Mr. Mark Tiff.
Thank you. It's lovely to be back. I feel like an imposter. Nicking Pete's seat.
Just haven't quite got... Pete's body to pull it off with.
Everybody that's going to be listening or watching to this, like, I didn't want to have to give it away. Is that my
phones off, people?
Good job, your phones on silent.
Fuck. So for all those people that are listening and watching to this, Pete isn't here today. Now Pete is away, and I don't want to give it away, but he's going to go on to a TV show, and it's called Ireland, and the first word is love. So for everybody listening or watching, Pete might be the 40-year-old that goes in and gets it on with Ekinsu.
If that's someone that's on the show, because...
We can't honestly say, can we, Mark?
I wouldn't know if that person's on the show, or because I obviously don't watch it.
You sure?
Yeah. I think the missus has it on in the background.
Are you sure about that? Because I've got a message from you last night.
Yeah, yeah. We're going with it now. We're running.
But we've got two new fantastic guests, and we've got Rob. Where are you from, Rob?
From Macclesfield.
But where are you from? What's your name?
So just tell us, you've got a podcast as well, so just drop that in for us.
So I've run the MYH podcast, which stands for Mind Your Head Podcast.
Yeah.
And it's all about mental health within the construction industry.
So I'm really excited to have you on, because it's something that me and Pete have touched on before. It's something as well that I think we spoke about when you were on the show as well. And we've also got Chris from Kiehl's Carpentry, I should say. Mm-hmm. Not joinery, it's the same bloody thing though, isn't it?
I call it joinery.
Yeah. Joinery in construction.
Oh, he's on his top, yes. Yes, because Pete always corrects me as well, so I'm glad he's not there, tosser. So I'll start by just sort of going over a few things. We always sort of get people to take us back to where they first sort of started on the podcast. And I probably want to start with you first, obviously. You know, you've got into carpentry. I see that you won the Screwfix Trade Apprentice of the Year as well. So just give us a little bit of backstory as how you came to be in the trades, how you came to winning like something like that, where obviously you're repping it on your T-shirt, and sort of give us a bit of a background on like the types of things that you do. So just take us back to the start first and give us a backstory on it.
Okay. You need to go like right back to when I was maybe like 17. I was doing music at college. I was working in KFC. I worked in B&Q and stuff like that. I had all these mad random jobs. I thought I was going to be a music teacher. And then like all my friends started getting apprenticeships. My brother got an apprenticeship. He done floorline. He got an adult apprenticeship. So like I never really knew anything about it. Like I thought a carpenter was like a carpet fitter. Mm. I didn't know what
just,
it was.
Just one thing. Is that why you won Screwfix Apprentice of the Year? Because you worked at B&Q?
We've got him now. Give him
he's repping the brand.
It was actually quite a good job. Like I just had to water the plants and I get like £9 an hour. I was like, it's easy.
Happy days.
You know, it's good. So go back to then, and then all my pals like started getting apprenticeships, and I was like, oh, I may as well, like if they're done quite well. So my mum actually applied for like just hundreds. I can't even take credit and say I applied for jobs because I never. And like I went for like an interview to be a spark, never got it. Went for an interview to do other things, and then obviously I got the job as an apprentice joiner. the company. It's pretty much like the council, like where I worked. So it was like quite a big company. And then obviously I worked with them first to fourth year.
Yeah.
And I lived on my own. Like, well, my partner Jody moved in with me. But like, I never really had much. So it was like, my apprenticeship was quite hard. You know what I mean? So like, obviously as an apprentice, you only get like £4 an hour. So like, at the end of the week, I only had like £7. So then I started kind of doing like wee jobs on myself.
Yeah.
Like evenings and weekends and that. And then it kind of built and built and built. And then obviously the Screwfix competition came up. And then I never even applied for it. It was Jodie that applied for it for me. She was on a night shift one time.
So you've got two women in your life to thank. Your mum and your wow. You know, you've just killed
pretty
the whole
much.
Show now. It's all to you. You so want to come up here?
she was working night shift, and it was just, I worked in a bar as well. So like, I used to do Monday to Friday, 8 till 4, doing my apprenticeship, and then 5 till 9, me and my pal would go out and build fences every night. So it was like every single night. And then on a Saturday, we'd build fences, and then at the weekend, I would work in a bar from 7 till 2 in the morning, and then do it again the Sunday.
That's grafting. Doing that off the back of, you know, joinery, building fences, and then going to the bar work.
Yeah.
Some graft that is.
So how old are you at this point? Because we always try and give people a bit of...
So I'm 23, 24 next month, so yeah. 24.
Yeah, but how old were you when you, A, you got into your apprenticeship, and then B, you sort of, you know, you go to work for this company that's doing the council stuff?
It was like house and maintenance and construction. So like, we're doing like primary schools, like house and maintenance. So like, sometimes you get into like change doors and things like that. So I was 19 when I started with that company. That's started them in the August, and I had turned 19 in July. And then it was like, I didn't really have any experience to go out on my own until like maybe it was like the January. Then I started like doing like, and I just kept it simple, just stuck to fences. Yeah. That's what me and my pal done. He was in third year, and then he chucked it, so I just done it myself, and then that was it.
So I'll keep it short and I'll keep it sweet. As you can see, got one of these lovely Bisley Workwear t-shirts on here. They're our good friends, our main headline sponsor, and just to show some appreciation for the real good quality workwear that these guys do, they've given us a 15% off discount code. So if you click here, it'll take you straight through. So if you're interested in some decent workwear gear, Bisley's got you covered. Do you ever look back on like the stuff that you were doing with the council work? Is there any reason why you didn't think, well, I'll sit out my apprenticeship and then go into doing that? Was there any reason that you just...
No, I could have stayed with them through my apprenticeship, like after my time was out, but I'd built up such a reputation in a business in Glasgow that I'd be silly to stay there. And obviously I don't have kids, and I've got a mortgage, but I don't have like any major risks. So I was like, if I don't go on my own now, I'll kick myself when I'm like 30 or maybe even older than that to take the risk and go out when I've got kids. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know why to take the risk.
So you've done your apprenticeship. You go out on your own again. What age were you when you sort of sit there and think, I can't live on £7 a week?
Oh, that was the first year. That was the first year of my apprenticeship. That was horrible. Yeah. So it was.
But do you think, because we get a lot of people on, and then we get some where they have quite easy, not, I wouldn't say easy, but it's quite plain sailing in the apprenticeship sort of side of things, and then we get others on that were either really badly mistreated because they had knobhead bosses, which obviously leads on to the sort of stuff that you've been doing and helping people with. But you know, like, do you think that sort of made you what you are now? Do you think that sort of battle hardened you to
probably,
like
100%? I think if I had an easier route, but maybe if I stayed at home and I loved my mum and dad, then I would have had it a lot simpler, where I would have had, like, I wouldn't have had to like worried about gas, electricity, like rent. I stayed in a council house at the time, and then obviously we'd done all that extra work, like building the fences at the weekends and then working in the bar. So then we bought a mortgage when I was in third year. I bought a house when I was in third year because we wanted a garden. So like, we're just like goal driven to do that, and then because of that, that's how we kind of started.
That's the thing, is having that goal. A lot of people, when they're going through their apprenticeship, live at their mum and dad's, or so they've got no real drive. They'll go do the apprenticeship, do the work, weekends out partying, this, that and the other. Whereas come weekends for you, grafting again, going again.
You're the first person that we've actually spoken to on the podcast that I can remember, you guys might correct me, but the first one that I can remember that's actually lived on their own doing the apprenticeship.
It's quite a strange thing. My mum moved away, so she moved... Like, I don't, she never like kicked me. I still got my mum and all that. Like, I don't,
but
like,
she got you the job. She's like,
she got me the job. See ya. She sold up and she moved to like a wee village outside Glasgow, and I decided to move in with my granny, but then obviously I was going out at the weekend, like things like that when I was 17, 18, and it wasn't fair on her, so then I just kind of decided, I didn't want to move away because all my pals stayed far away, do you know what I mean? So it was like...
Get your own place.
It was getting my own place, and then, but it was fine when I worked in B&Q, so like when I worked in B&Q, it was like a full-time job, £9 an hour, but then I took the drop, I took the risk to get an apprenticeship, do you know what I mean? That was my choice.
I mean, would you have done that if your mum hadn't have, like, would you think that would have clicked maybe 2 years down the line, or do you think you would have just been watering plants in B&Q for the next 3-4 unless she'd have had that intervention with you?
No, it wasn't that. It was all my pals. Like, they started getting, like, my save. Like, they were electrician apprenticeships, apprentices, and they started,
getting
buying,
£50
like,
notes, They
started buying Mercs and stuff, and, like, I liked cars at the time, obviously, like, as a 17-year-old boy. So I was if he's got a Merc at 17 or whatever, then obviously I want to have that. But then it turned out his car was a mobility car, so it doesn't even matter.
I was about to say, oh, he's drug dealing.
Yeah, 17, rolling in a Merc. Oh, it's a disability car.
I was like, that's kind of how
walks into the dealership and like, can I have one of them?
So you get spurred on by your friends, you go out on your own, and then your lovely lady over here pushes you to apply for an award. Is it something that you're glad that it's been done now, or was it something at the time where you're thinking, well, I'm never going to win this award?
At the time we were like, what's the point in applying? Like, I thought it was like one of the joke things. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I thought it was like,
you thought she was more than you.
One of the things, like getting on the radio, like give me the cash or something like that. But it was and then we got an email a couple of weeks later, and we got the email to say that I was into the semi-finals of the Screwfix. So this is all when I was doing an apprenticeship, and like when I was on my own, like doing what I was doing. So then we got the email, I was in the semi-finals, and then we had to do a 5-minute video.
And so what did you have to do to get to that point?
So the first process, this Screwfix trade apprentice, is an application form, and if somebody can nominate you. So if you know an apprentice, like they're working hard, that you can say, oh, I want to nominate him, or like they can nominate yourself.
Yeah.
So obviously I was nominated by Jody, and then
how many people applied, do you know?
It's 14,000, I think.
14,000?
I think so. And maybe I got it wrong.
Is that for all the different categories, or is that specifically for your...
There's no joiner winner, plumber winner. It's the top.
Everything, all in one.
Pretty much, so it's like different trades. So we applied, got down to the top 50, then you had to do a 5-minute video, and I had never done it.
I've worked at B&Q. I started there, Kingfisher.
It was stuff like that. So you had to do like a video talking about yourself and what you had done, and I just kind of explained to them the story that I had told you, is about how I worked in a bar, and I was out doing my own jobs at the weekend, like in where I stayed, and then I was like still doing my apprenticeship and what like my kind of goal was. And we had, by that point, we had like bought our house, so like I told them all, like, oh, I was able to like... And they kind of liked that. So then obviously I got to the finals, and the finals didn't get ruined, but because of COVID, they were supposed to be in London.
Okay.
So we were all like invited down, and we were the first year like COVID happened. So like what happened was, is like they had to do it on like Zoom. So it was like a bit, it wasn't as good as what the experience should have been.
18 boxes on the screen, loads of people.
I know. So that it was quite good, because you got to... It was like the interviews and that, so it was like the Federation of Master Builders, and it was all these different panel people, and like they all interviewed you and asked you loads and loads of questions. And
I mean, these awards are great. I mean, us as an actual business uni, like, we've only ever won one award, one, ironically, on the Tools Award. So we've only ever won one award. I mean, we never really noticed anything as a business that we got anything extra from it. I mean, how has it changed, like, stuff for you, obviously?
So before, like... I don't mean to sound like Oliver Twist, like a pure sob story, but before, like, I won the Screwfix trade apprentice, obviously, we had just bought the house, we were doing up the house, so, like, all our money was going towards that, so I never had a lot of tools. So when I won Screwfix, the prize bundle was £10,000, but it was £5,000 to spend, like, in Screwfix, like, tool bundle, I could get whatever I wanted, and that was amazing. And then, obviously, I got £3,000 education.
Is it better than the supermarket suite? Yeah, it's good. Better not be.
Scam group, like.
And then I got £3,000 to spend on education, which I never actually claimed, so I'm not used to
it. Screwfix, if you're listening, I'm coming for you.
So I had that, and then that was it. So I had used all the technology. I got MacBooks, phones, Apple Watches, everything, a printer, everything to, like, I planned to, like, set up as a business. Like, I didn't want to just spend, like, people could, like, buy, like, Xboxes and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, I kind of used the money, and then obviously the tools. And then once the house was done, and once I, like, Screwfix gave me my tools, I was like, oh, I'm buying a van now. So then I had a van. So I traded in my car and got
I mean, to be fair, like, this is another thing that I think apprentices don't pick up on, is there are opportunities like that. So for any apprentices that are listening or watching, you know, make sure you get a good lady that applies for you or somebody to push you to do these things, because, you know, probably when you entered, you've probably just done it and thought, well, I'll put him in the mix. But actually to win, like, a whole, it's almost a whole business setup for somebody.
Very much, eh? It's
which
good.
If you're trying to start out on your own, as you know, like, tools are expensive, yeah, or your tools can get stolen, yeah, and then you've got to try and replace them.
And you'll, I suppose as well, if you've got a $5,000 budget for tools, you're always going to get the tools that you need. But with that, you're going, right, I've got £1,500 left. I'm going to go for that completely, a tool that you wouldn't usually buy if it was your money.
Aye.
Your money, obviously, you've won it. But that next sort of tool, like, I've always wanted it, but I'm going to go for that one.
Or you look at it and you think, I might only use it 3 times. But actually, because you get one, you suddenly think,
yeah,
oh, I've used this thing all the time.
How have I survived? You find you end up using it all the time.
How have you survived without it? But I mean, listening to your story, because we've had Adam Dunlop on before, who's an electrical apprentice, works with Nick Bundy, he's Nick's sort of right-hand man. Who else we had on, apprentice-wise? Al's electrical. She was apprentice, wasn't she? And Beth, but she's fully qualified now. So everybody's story is completely different. I mean, yours, like, listening to it, like, you know, to set up on your own, to go out on your own, obviously working 3 sort of jobs is a completely different story to everybody else's, which is primarily live at home and then they go and do that sort of stuff. I mean, you know, I'll congratulate you on that side for me, because that's hard to do, like you said. Yeah. I mean, where do you, now that you're set up with all your tools, I presume you've bought the van now.
And that was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, so you bought the van.
Does Screwfix still have anything to do with you?
No, sometimes though, like, so like the 2021 competition and the 2022 competition, like, they'll get me back to, like, talk to like finalists and things like that, and like tell them my story, and like just sometimes like they send you like a wee £50 Screwfix voucher, right, or things like that, or like sometimes if there's like an event on, they'll maybe get me to promote something, yeah, like that for them, and they're quite good. So we wear it on our jumper because it's a big award, and obviously
you still, you should be proud of.
I don't forget, like, kind of where we came from. If it wasn't for Screwfix, my business would not be.
I mean, you know, another sort of side of things. Did you get local press for?
Yeah, I was in like the Glasgow Evening Times and like the Clybank Post, which is like where we come from.
Yeah.
So I was in the paper and things like that. I was in the Daily Star. There was a national paper as well and stuff like that.
Did you get anybody recognise you? Because that was we had Alex Woodward, who was from Scotland.
He was on with me.
Plumber runner stunner.
We were trying to think of that earlier,
as he called himself, the plumber runner stunner. But he obviously battled. Was it? It wasn't cancer, but I think he had that lump or whatever it was, and then he ended up in the newspaper, and he was opening chip shops and everything. He was getting recognised, and Peter, like, he literally nicknamed himself the plumber runner stunner, and I was like, mate, you can't nickname yourself that.
Still uses it now.
Yeah, still uses it now. But I mean, so you've gone past this, you've won the award, and then your business, obviously growing your business.
Once I won the award, I think I had like a couple months left in my apprenticeship. So we do a skills test in Scotland. So like at the end of your apprenticeship, you set a test, and then as you qualified joiner or carpenter, or whatever your trade is, and then I passed that. And then the day I passed it, I just left my company. My business was like kind of up and running.
Did they try and keep you in your business?
They tried to you can go to college and do a HNCE, stay here, you'll get a pension. That I was like, nope, see you later.
Ciao.
I've won Screwfix and I'm off. Hey!
What's that?
Got my tools in my van now.
Pretty much what happened. Yeah. And then obviously
but good on you. I mean, like, me looking at this situation from the outside in is like, most people, I wouldn't say most people, but a majority of people might be like, well, actually, I've just got all my tools, I'm settled. Now, to go out then on your own and say, well, I'll take that sort of leap. A lot of the people that we have on the show, actually, when I say, like, how old were you when you started? And, like, in the early 20s?
Yeah.
It's crazy how many people sort of do that.
The hardest thing probably for us, being so young, is, like, people are trusting us now with, like, jobs that are, like, $100,000, $200,000. Mm. And, like, that's, they're remortgaging our houses to build extensions or build, like, we've done a big bespoke stable job. People are trusting, like, a 23-year-old with all that money. Mm. And that's only because the reputation that I made when I was an apprentice.
Mm. Yeah.
of what I'd done, like, because we do trust somebody.
Do you find as well, because obviously looking at you, don't take this the wrong way, but you do look young. Like you've got a baby face.
During COVID, my dad got made redundant, and he's a delivery driver, and he came out to work with us for a bit, and then people were like, the customers like going up to him to ask him questions. Yeah. My dad was like, I just carry the tools.
That's the boss.
How was that, working with your dad?
It was a good laugh.
Is he from a trade background?
Nah, it was only until he got made redundant, like obviously when COVID happened, and then he got a new job. So it was only like maybe 2-3 months.
So how did he find it being, obviously, the son being the boss?
It was fine. He was like,
I bet it's quite nice as well to work with the old man.
I think if you work together in trades and then that role reverses,
yeah.
Like obviously if Pete took his dad out,
yeah.
I think like... like that, they'd be going at each other. So I think if he hasn't come from a trade background, he's probably
he was clueless. He just went and got the.
And I bet for him, it was quite a son. This is my son's company.
Proud moment.
Yeah, proud dad moment of your son.
Aye, probably. Yeah,
you know, when you were at work, did you call him dad or did you call him his name?
No, it's called
bitch.
Dad.
Get to the van. What the?
Come on, chop chop. Come on,
Davey.
Come on, come on. But I mean. One thing I always came up against when, obviously, with this place was I'd go into meetings and obviously, without the beard, this is going back, you know, a good 15 years ago, I used to literally look about 9 years old and people wouldn't take me serious.
Aye.
So obviously now, because you've actually built that sort of reputation, surely when obviously you're arriving now, people
know now, especially like since I've done like... And that's probably something else I've got for Screwfix was we've got like... We do like our social media and things like that. I would have never had the confidence to show what I was doing. I just used to make videos to show my mum. Like, look, I hung a door today. Do you know what I mean? Like, that was the type of thing I made videos for. And then with the confidence, I started sharing the videos. Mm. And then obviously, Jodie started helping me make the videos. And then we used to compete, like, oh, let's see who can make the best video. So we never actually tried. And then it just worked.
Just become a thing.
It was just a thing. Yeah. And then obviously, TikTok
Whose idea was the social media? Was that?
It was a bit of both.
I created him, I moulded him.
We thought it was like a business page, and then when I won Screwfix, I was like, well, I've got the confidence to show like what I can do, because like Screwfix kind of believed in me.
Great that Screwfix thing just boosted you.
Even if people don't win as well, and like any apprentices that do listen and watch, like, you know, I'd always push them to go and do something like that, because if it does give you the even if you got down to like, say they rang you and said you're in the last 50,
and I'll ask
you, you're going to think,
get good stuff.
You're going to think, shit, out of 14,000 people, I must be doing something right. So even for that to get to there's a good achievement. I mean, so what now for you then? Obviously, you're still young. Like, is it that you want to keep growing your socials? What are you looking to do? Take more people on? Do bigger jobs?
The socials, we love to grow them, and making the videos is fun, but that's like a secondary thing for us. Like, that's not like our main focus. As much as we love doing like all this stuff and like the promoting it works. But we effectively do that for work. So our goal is just like, I don't want to have a big massive team of 10 guys or 20 guys, like too young, because I'll never be able to manage it. And I think quality over quantity, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I've got one guy, Ali, who's a brilliant joiner who works with us now. And he came off the new build site, so he got like fed up. And we were looking for a joiner last year, and he came and worked with us. And then obviously Jodie works with us now. She left her, she'd done 2 degrees and then ended up with a job in uni. It was a pure waste of time going to uni.
What did you do your degrees in?
Education and social services.
Yeah. That's right. Okay.
So last year,
I did the same. To be honest, I did mine in sound engineering.
Did you? There you go then.
Yeah. Audio engineer. Podcast though.
Oh, true. Jack did all the work. I still can't believe you're 23. That's what boggles
my mind. Isn't it?
Yeah. So, but we're going to move over to you actually, because I want to sort of like. One thing that I want to link into there is when you are 23, some people do try and take on too much work and then get bogged down in it and then end up in a scenario where they probably need to maybe talk to someone similar to yourself or stuff like that. But, you know, take us back then, Rob, because obviously you're a bricklayer trade. So take us back how you got into the trade and then to sort of the stuff that you do with the podcast, the mental health sort of side of things. Just give us like
eases into it.
Give us a background story.
So I left school back in 2000. I was a massive underachiever in school. Didn't leave with any qualifications. And I got a job as a labourer, and it sort of clicked. Well, you know what? This building stuff's all right. And then my granddad was paying a bricklayer over in Ireland £5 a block, which I think he was chatting poo to me then. But
yeah,
I thought, I could do that. I could earn that money. So I looked at getting an apprenticeship. It took me forever to get an apprenticeship. And then I finally got one with a great company in Manchester. And
are you originally from Manchester?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm originally from Birmingham.
Ah.
I was born in the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. But and then my dad got a job with a Manchester-based company and moved up there. But I was way young. And I started at that company, did my apprenticeship with them. And then, not so much the same as you, but I would always do work at the weekends and jobs. And I'd always have bits and bats, just topping money up and things like that, because apprenticeship wages were pretty poor. I think it was 75 quid a week I got. But I still, I had the struggles that you had. I lived at home with my mum and dad. And I sort of built it up, and it got to a point where, sort of 2005-ish, I left and went on my own for several years, which I never really went on my own, because Paul, the boss, used to ring me up and go, right, can you just go and build this for me? Can you go and do that for me? And can you come and sort this out for me? Yeah. Which I never mind, because he's a great person. And then the recession hit in 2008, and I'd fallen in the trap of growing a business. I think we had, at one point...
It's a shit time, that was.
Yeah.
Real shit
we had... I used to hate Fridays. I used to think, where am I going to find all these wages? Like, 16 grand, where am I going to pull that out of? And if I'm honest with you, there was, up until a few years ago, still paying that off. And grew the business, got too big, too quick, drowned in it, and I ended up going bankrupt. I got wound up by a builder's merchant because I owed him 30 odd grand, got it down to about 7 grand, and they rang me up. And I said, the only money I've got in the whole world is 250 quid.
Yeah.
He said, right, well, we'll take that, and we'll speak to you in a couple of weeks. It's like, right, okay. And then 2 days later, I had a guy knock on my door and say, here's your notice for court. And at that point, I had premises. I had a vans and tools and stuff like that, but they were all pretty knackered. And when the bailiffs came in, because I'd gone back and forth to court a few times to try and save it. I was just me there on my own trying to do it, and the builder's merchants had a full legal team there. And fair due to the magistrate, she tried to help me out as much as she could. She kept...
Because I deal with merchants, so I see it from their perspective, but I also think there has to be, like, especially if you've done a lot of business with a particular merchant, there has to be some sort of, like, negotiation. Not like saying that you've got to, like, give up everything that you owe, but surely if they said to you, look, okay, like, we're going to give you sort of 3 months worth of grace or 4 months worth of grace, like, try and get back as much as you can in that time. And say if you paid half of it off, then you go, well, okay, then another, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's showing willing, isn't it? Look, I'm trying to...
But I get it from their side, but I also think in, like, how these companies can sort of use you for so much, and then they go, oh, well, you owe a seventh. Hold on a minute, like, I mean, we've had people go bump on us here, and they haven't even tried to negotiate or anything to pay it off. They've just gone bump, and then they've took us for the money. But we look at it and think, well, actually, and this isn't saying anybody go bump on me and take me for a lot of money, but we've looked at it and gone, well, over the years, we've made £100,000 worth of sales to that company. So we've made, you know, so sometimes you have to look at it.
You've done your money on them.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, then I spoke to my old boss. This was sort of 2012 time, so it was about 24, 25, something like that.
It took a long time, that recession anyway.
It did. Do you know what? I never ran out of work. I always had work. I just chose to work for the wrong people. Young, naive, people took advantage, companies going bump. I did work for one company in North Manchester. They'd gone bump, and then 3 weeks later, they're ringing me up saying, would you like to tender for this job? I was like, well, if you pay me the 13 grand that you owe me from the last job.
The cheek of them doing that, because they've changed it to Bob's Builders and Son.
They're
coming at
this very room that we're sat in was built by a certain company, which I'm not going to name them, but they kept pestering for the final payment, and there were certain things that still hadn't been done. So I paid half of it, and then obviously a few more things got done. Luckily, there was only snagging left. And they said, oh, can you pay this about 2 days later? And I said to the sister, I said, they're going bust, they are. So the guy, the carpenter, and the other guy who worked in here, who was his boss, I said, look, keep asking me for money. And he says, well, they owe me something silly like 13 grand, something like that. I said, well, you want to get some money. Luckily, I think he got about 4 or 5 off them. Mm. And then a week later, they went bust.
Yeah.
And then they started up again.
That's the annoying bit, isn't it?
Yeah,
but you can see them telltale signs. Like you know them little things when they're beginning to ask for that little bit of money.
Yeah, but there's a lot of that, though, in the building trade, I find.
There is, yeah. I mean, the commercial background that I came from, but like when I turned around to my boss and he said, well, how much do you need to keep you going? I said, I don't need any money. I just can have my old job back.
Mm.
And I went back working for him in sort of 2012. And because I'd got the qualifications to do management side of things, because of the jobs that I was doing, he put me on the new co-op building in Manchester, and ended up running these jobs, and they got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then the last one I was on, I was part of a team. There was me and another guy that did it. And the brickwork and blockwork package on its own was £4 million.
Mm.
So, and the company, when I first started working for them back in 2001, something like that, I think they turned over £1 million a year. Now they're doing jobs worth way more than that now. And he's grown a phenomenal business, and he's very humble with it.
Mm.
And he's a great guy. I speak to him all the time. And I'm very thankful for the experience and the job that he gave me there. And I was doing that. But running those big jobs, obviously, the big pressure comes with them, big, massive budgets, timescales, big teams of people that work there, big customers that you're working for. And the pressure pretty much got to me. I was absolutely destroying my life for work. And I was working all over the country doing sort of 50, 60,000 miles a year. We did a lot of MOD work, so we're up and down the country with that. And I didn't do anything about it. I just kept pushing it down, not understanding why I was feeling like this. I should be all right. I can control how I'm doing. I'm doing fine. I've got all this responsibility. I'm doing all these big jobs. I should be able to handle my own emotions.
Mm.
And the truth of it, I couldn't. And we were away in North Wales about 4 years ago. And Seb, my eldest boy at the time, was only 2. And he couldn't, he wouldn't eat a piece of pizza. Just a 2-year-old just wouldn't eat a piece of pizza.
Yeah.
And I couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Could not handle it. That was the straw that broke the camel's back for me. And I just blew my top, screaming and shouting at him, screaming, shouting, Lou, my wife, and her brother and his partner were there. I just couldn't handle it. And I went and hid in a bedroom for 2 days.
Mm.
But come the Monday, I still got up for work on the Monday, because if I didn't go to work, 75 other people weren't working because I'm not there.
Yeah.
And I was driving.
It's awful, that feeling, I think. You know, feeling that sort of, I mean, I come in here and I go home, and sometimes I sit there and I think, I've got all these people working for me. And when you don't have a great month, or you don't have certain things and things aren't going a certain way, and you're not eating right, you're not sleeping because you're worrying about those things, it just sort of snowballs until it gets to, like, until I go on holiday, I don't realise just how stressed I am. But you're worrying about things you can't control.
Yeah, and I used to let it consume me, absolutely consume me. And it just got that bad where I just imploded. And I was driving to work. I'd just gone, because North Wales, I was doing student accommodation in Liverpool. Drove to work, and Louise, she said, she rang me, but I think she messaged me. Anyway, she contacted me, said, I'm leaving you.
Mm.
I can't be with you anymore. You are destroying yourself for work.
That's probably the worst thing as well you can hear at the same time.
Really. Yeah, it is. And that was the shock and the wake up and the realisation that I needed to say, I need to take my mental health a bit more seriously. I need to do something about this. And I still went to work. Nobody knew what was going on, because I couldn't show that side of, I was absolutely dying inside.
Mm.
Still turned up to work, still did the job, sat in the car park, cried my eyes out, got myself together, went in there, and I cracked on as if it was a normal day. But I rang my boss up and I said, I need help.
Mm.
I can't do this. I'm making silly choices. I was making silly choices in my personal life, in work. Ultimately, I was part of a team that was responsible for people's lives on a building site, and my mind wasn't in the right place. I could have put them to work, set them to work with a task that ultimately could have
injured them
or worse. And I, thanks to Paul, he listened to me and says, right, let's get this sorted. Got myself back on the straight and narrow.
There's not many people like that, you know. Like, if you were to open up to somebody, I don't think there's that many people, especially people that you work with, that would be,
yeah.
Well, that, be that, like that with you.
And that's where he runs a business. He runs it as a very family-orientated business. They're a big concern in the Northwest and with the brickwork side of things. And he really, really looks after his staff and takes that time and to listen to what you've got to say. So I took that time out, came back to work. Even when I was starting to admit that there was a problem, I was still going to work and as if nothing was wrong, but I was dealing with it. Louise moved in with her mum and dad. I could see the kids at any time. She never stopped anything like that.
So when you and Louise had... when that happened, was your relationship with her still amicable?
It was, yeah.
So do you think she did that as a last...
Yeah, massively, yeah.
Yeah, she's done it for the love of what she's got.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And if she hadn't done that, I never got to the point where I was suicidal with anything like that. I was just a miserable bastard. I was just horrible, angry all the time.
Like me when I go home. I'll be honest with you.
I'd go home and I'd snap. And I was taking work home with me and I was not switching off. I wasn't going on holidays. That trip to Wales, I didn't book any time off. I went and met them. She'd been there a day before I turned up.
That's the job, just consuming everything, isn't it?
Yeah, because I thought I had to be a certain way and I had to be like this and... you've got to be roughy, toughy men and all that. And you can't talk about your feelings and your emotions, so...
Not according to the Daily Mail, anyway.
Well, there's stuff about that as well. But, I was just filling it and pushing it and pushing it. And you can only put so much into a jar, can't you, before it overflows. And that's what it was. And that was the turning point for me. And I was like, right, I'm going to do something about this. The one of the conversations I had with Paul, I was like, Paul, I'm miserable. I didn't say it as nice as that. I said, I'm miserable in the job that I do. I said, I argue with you every day. I argue with the bricklayers every day. I argue with the clients that we're working with. I'm going home and I'm carrying that on into my own personal life, which I know I shouldn't. And he's like, right, well, what do you want to do? What can we do? Because we'll find another role for you within the business. Do you want to go back to bricklaying? I was like, no, because... I hated bricklaying at that point. I was done with the construction industry. Yeah. I was looking at going and driving a van or doing something away from the industry. I'd done it for 16 years at that point. I was like, I'm done with this. And he's like, well, why don't you go and do your knee bosh, you know, like your health and safety side. I was like, yeah, if you want me to. And he's a big guy from Northern Ireland. He's a big, deep, booming Northern Ireland. I don't want it for me. I want it for you. I want you to do something for you that you enjoy.
So it's hard though when you're in that, like, you just don't want to do anything, do you?
Yeah, I really didn't. I really didn't want to do anything. And I was like, he said, think about it and come back to me. So I carried on with my job and carried on doing that. And I went back to him and I said, can I do a bit more with the mental health side of things? Because the lads resonated to me anyway. They'd come in and speak to me and say, done this at the weekend, drank too much or whatever else I've been up to. And what were your thoughts on this? And a lot of the time, I never gave them any answers. I was just an ear for them to listen to talk to. And I said, can I do a bit more on that? And then the Lighthouse, who I'm an ambassador for, they paid for all my training to go on to do mental health first aid instructor, and a few more upskill stuff that they've done with them. And I started doing that on the bigger projects that we did. And I was sat, again, in Liverpool. We did a lot of work in Liverpool. And I was sat at my desk thinking, how can I get this message across? How can I get the message to the people that are on the tools? Because when you work in environments like that, that a lot of it is price orientated to what they lay to get paid for. That 80% of them are self-employed, so they don't have time to sit and take advantage of the stuff that's out there to give them the knowledge and the training and things like that. Because if they're not laying and they're not doing anything, they're not getting paid. So they don't do it.
No lay, no pay.
Exactly. Whereas on the management side, <You're>
I just had these visions.
That was Ash Mahoney. That was no lay, no pay.
Or was it that? Or was it Rattle Kings? Darcy. Who was it who said no lay, no pay? Oh, JDM Brickwork. And driveways, Phil, driveways and gardens as well.
And so I thought, right, I need to get this message across because there's posters and stuff around the site and in the canteen and everything, and they absolutely need to be there. But if you're struggling with your mental health,
you don't even see them, yeah.
Yeah. And the last thing you want to do is go and stand up and look at a poster.
And like, then everyone starts going, yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I thought, how can I get that message across to people in a way that they can understand it and digest it at their own time? And the way that nobody else knows that they're getting that information. So I thought, well, a podcast. Mm. Because for me, I wasn't talking, and the whole point of a podcast is talking. Mm. So I did that. I started that 2 years ago, nearly 2 years ago now, with my friend Tom. He got me sorted and got me set up, and big shout out to Tom, because if it wasn't for him, it'd still be pie in the sky. And I started that, and it's just slowly growing and growing and growing. This is my third podcast today that I've done.
Yeah.
And people come on that are...
Do you find that has been your outlet then to sort of like, not only do you feel like you're helping other people, but it's cathartic to
you? Yeah, massively, yeah.
Because you're talking to other people and understanding that you don't feel that way on your own type of thing, is that?
That's it. For a long time, I thought I was on my own because... Looking around at everybody always looks good, don't they? And on the surface, everything looks great.
Instagram versus reality.
Exactly, yeah. And when I did start opening up about it, and the lads that I spoke with were amazing, and they started talking to me like, when I was your age, I felt a bit like that. And the responsibility of kids and marriage and moving house. And
kids, I'd say, is a massive...
Yeah.
A massive
and do you know what, right? I still massively struggle with the kids.
Yeah.
They can send me from 0 to 300 miles an hour in a second. And
my missus will listen to this, she'll be like, that is you.
I used to sit in meetings and stuff at work, and there'd be other managers screaming, like desks like this, screaming and shouting at each other. I'd just be sat there, and I never lost my rag. It never bothered me.
Sat around the table at home when they're having their spaghetti oops, mate, and then Rob's going in on them.
Yeah.
I'll be on it, the screaming.
Yeah. 5 o'clock this morning I had it. 5 o'clock this morning, Ben comes running upstairs, bang, straight on the bed, bang on me. He'll end up with a child on his hand, he'll be a bricklayer. He's already a bricklayer at 4 years old. Yeah. But I used to, and I still do, openly struggle with it. And doing the work exactly that gives me that release, or that I'm sharing. And because I know it sounds cheese, absolute cheese, but a problem shared is a problem hard. Mm. You're letting go of it.
Yeah.
So I started doing more and more of that. And then we did a project on Manchester Town Hall, and I did a bit of a thing with Mind Manchester, and that went down really well. And Paul said to me, you're not going to be working for me in 18 months. And within 9 months, I was gone.
Mm.
Not because we fell out or it was a bad... We both knew my journey with that business, or my career as... doing the big commercial stuff had come to an end. I'd taken it as far as I wanted to go. I didn't want to do it anymore.
So, ladies and gents, tradesmen and women, I am trying to help you organise yourself. So we have teamed up with Tradeify, which is a software brand that if you are struggling to get organised, to look after your customers and to get everything ready for the jobs that you are going to need, then Tradeify is an all-in-one solution. So we've teamed up with those guys. If you click this little link just up here, you get 50% off your first 3 month subscription, and you also can have a 14-day free trial. Do you ever think that companies like Paul's or other large companies, other house builders and stuff like that, will ever sit there and think, right, why don't we employ somebody in your role that actually is, it's almost like a counsellor, you know, like at school, you've got a counsellor that you can go and talk to. Do you ever think it will become, I wouldn't say compulsory, but, it's a bit like a football team. If you've got a nutritionist...
Yeah.
Or a physio.
Yeah.
Everybody's working at optimum.
These big companies need that role, don't they?
Yeah, they do massively. Yeah, because it's no matter what level you work at on these big sites or any site running a business, there's stress with it, and sometimes you need that person to talk to, like how we first met.
Yeah.
You were struggling. I reached out to you. We just had a chat, and it's just rationalising things and letting people know that you're all right.
See, that was off the back of. Obviously your podcast and Instagram, and I was doing a job for someone
and it was coming to the end of the job, and it was just, I've never been someone who struggled, or at least I don't think I've struggled with my mental health. And I just happened, it was my very first ever Instagram Live. I just sat in my van, didn't know Rob, just sat there, done an Instagram Live. And then after it, just saying, yeah, I'm really struggling with it. And I just felt shit about myself. Mm-hmm. So I could have spoke to my missus, but I just sat in front of that camera in the van, blurted it all out. And then just off the back of that, I got a message from Rob. Right, mate, you know, a quick little chat. And then I think we ended up, you did it, your Friday podcast, Friday Instagram Live, and you went, just jump on it with me on Friday. And I was like, okay. And that's where our relationship built up. And just the things that you and Lee at the time were saying to me, because I didn't know I was suffering. Mm. And I think Lee said something to me, who obviously you've done podcasts and that with, it was burnout.
I was suffering
from burnout, but I didn't realise that was having that mental effect with me at the time.
I find, obviously, when I was younger, when I was at the 23, 24, like, I could just go all day. Do you know what I mean? Nothing ever...
Stick a Harry Bow in you, mate. No, but go all day.
Stuff would just bounce off me. You were bulletproof. And I find, obviously, you toss kids into the mix, you get married, you get a mortgage, you keep sort of doing more and more of the adult. And actually, you lose the fun side of being, like, what was fun when you were a kid, the exciting stuff and all that. And everything all of a sudden is just so serious.
Yeah.
It drains the life out of you and it just creeps up on you. I mean, the scenario you've had to start as an apprentice as well, like that pressure of, I've got £7, I've got to go and work three jobs. That was hard.
It was hard. There was times that I broke down, stuff like that, but I just kept going. I just kept...
Yeah.
But it's interesting listening to when you were saying about building the company and having the blokes on with you
and not rushing.
And I noticed Chris was just sort of nodding as if you're going, that's where I don't want to be.
That's where I don't want to be.
I can see it. You're just listening to Rob and you was nodding and I was thinking,
but you're the first person that sort of younger started that's sort of gone, actually, I'm happy to just
that's it.
Whereas some are like, I mean,
I want this.
Jack Plevin, who was on, and I really admire him. So he's Plevin Power, so he's generators and stuff like that, generator backup power. Now he is sort of like, he's a completely different animal, but he's now, I think he's got something like 25 members of staff, something like that. And he's only 24, 25 or something like that. But he really wanted that. But like, I look at Jack now sometimes, like, sorry, Jack. And I just think, fucking hell, he looks knackered.
He's got the stress of them blokes.
Well, his business is...
He's got 25 mortgages.
Well, his business is 24/7 generator power. That's what his slogan is. So he's like, if one of them doesn't come in and he's got a job, he's got to drive to Scotland or somewhere, it's him. You know, so I sort of, like, I get it from both sides, actually. But one thing that I do see, and I think social media makes it a bit that way, is that, you know, oh, look at all the glitz and glamour of let's have a Lambo and all that sort of stuff. And it's sort of, people try to run before they can.
Yeah. There's a lot of people, like, in Glasgow. I know there's like a few companies, I won't say who they are, but they'll boast, I've got 10 guys working for me. Yeah. I've got 7 guys working for me.
But they're not making any money.
And I'm like, aye, but that guy's standing around the back smoking fags and just burning a hole in your pocket.
It's costing you money.
I mean, you're burning yourself. One question for you then, because you said that you saw all these other people as apprentices sort of getting more money and doing more stuff and, you know, the disability Mercedes and all that sort of stuff. Like, are any of these people that, because I think everybody does it, is they look at other people and think, oh, they're down there in their journey on life. Are any of these people now, are you there and you sort of, not that you look back and think, oh, well, I used to look at you and think, I want
you've that. Overtook that.
They're still like working with the companies that they worked for and I kind of grew up and realised there was more to life than cars. Do you know what I mean? Like, at the time, so...
You what? Come on, Mark, time to grow up.
I'm off.
Time to grow up, Mark.
Double water car, so pretty much. But I'm quite happy, like, where we are. Like, I don't want to grow in it. I don't want the stress. Well,
I love listening to you because there are certain people, like, we've had Billy the Engineer, or Billy, and he obviously went into the army. He even said, like, I got discharged from the army because I just lost my shit.
Yeah.
And it's nice to hear somebody, because it's not always a bed of roses, you know, and obviously you've had not one, but probably a couple of bad experiences. So I always find, like, you know, people always want to tell the best of themselves. I want to show the best of themselves. Yeah,
people just want to show the cream, don't they?
Yeah.
But it's good advice listening to it, especially for you being younger, to say,
just
It was just like, you nodding when Rob was going, I didn't, all these blokes, and you're going, I could just think, yeah, fuck that.
Don't you worry, you'll get told when you're hiring somebody. The boss over here will say,
yeah, listen to her, the mum's coming in.
I believe in, like, I want to build a legacy. Do you know what I mean? Have a good, comfortable life.
The thing is, I like this place here is, I always just, like, I just want to be able to have a nice working environment for everybody. Everybody can live or can earn a semi-decent wage, and everybody's got a job at the end of the day.
That's it.
And that's it. Like, I'm not too, but like, don't get me wrong, it'd be nice if it was double the size or whatever, but people always want something, and then when they get it, they think, shit, this is a hot potato here. Is it hot potato you guys talk about? But you know, you end up going backwards.
And I think, like, if you got that big, I mean, I could probably fill our diary 10 times over into next year, but you would lose the quality, bringing people in.
That, like, and is someone going to do that job to how you
how
want
I would want
doing?
To do. And I'm quite, like, I get pure raging doing, like, the actual business side of things. Like, I still enjoy doing the joinery side of things, so I'm a bit selfish in that sense. Like, I still like doing it.
Are you the business bro? Yeah.
Aye, pretty much. I kind of passed it over to Jody, so...
But it's nice that you've got that, because that's another thing as well, is when you don't have that sort of, like, you know, behind every good man there's a strong woman. Like, if you don't have that support off whoever you're with, whether you're, you know, blokes, whatever, if you don't get that, then I find that then you can easily fall into...
Yeah, Louise has always been there for me, even like when we ran RLM Brickwork and we had that going, and she was like, right, okay, let's do it. And then when I said, I'm doing this, she was like, yeah, right, like, come on, let's do it.
Is she backing you with everything you're doing? Because we had a quick conversation outside.
And also,
whole thing you're doing with the mental health is now becoming
seen a change in it, did she say to you? Like,
yeah, she said that it's given me purpose and drive, and it's changed me as a person in a very positive way. The work that I do now gives me the most job satisfaction that I've ever had. I can write a wicked CV for all the big jobs that I've worked on and things like that, but nothing gives me the job satisfaction as what I get now.
Yeah.
Going out and helping people and having a massive positive change on people's lives, making to be as harsh as it is, it's life or death sometimes.
So what's the, obviously we got your sort of future plans of what you want to do. What's the future for you then, if you've got the podcast, it's been going 2 years, should go and check it out. So I think I'll get Jack to put a little link, or is it up there, wherever it is. I'll get Jack to put a link to it anyway, so people can go and like and subscribe to your channel. But just what's the future for you then? What are your plans to sort of, obviously you want to help as many people as possible.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm honest with you, Al, I don't have one. I'm very much go with the flow. If the journey goes over here a little bit and then back over there, and if it all goes to shit and I'm back laying bricks next week, cool. I'm okay with that. I don't have anything written in stone. If I can continue to keep going and doing what I'm doing now, and like I was saying to Mark outside, it's now getting to the point where it's paying my bills. The podcast itself doesn't earn me any money. In fact, it costs me a lot of money, as you'll know. But
he's even more of a diva than Pete.
but it's getting me recognised for the work that I do, and it's getting that the message out there. Ultimately, it's a message, and then that allows me to go out and do these tours. Now Ford are on board with the tours that I do.
Well, the podcast, and it's very similar to this, like, I didn't start it with the aim of making any money. I started it just purely because I like to listen to your story, to your story. And these are all, you're all people that I either follow or have an interest in, or I see other people that I know interacting with you. But I'm just genuinely interested in people. Yeah. So it's sort of like, it's crazy to think how you started it because you needed it, and then now it sort of needs you.
Yeah.
So it's gone full circle.
That's a good way of putting it. I never thought about it that way, but you're
quoting that now. T-shirts.
No, but I'm going to quote Lion King. It's the circle of life.
You got to stand on the table. Kuna Matata. Give it away.
You can hold me up because I wouldn't be able to. Just,
we can have a go, mate.
But that for me is like, you know, that's where the satisfaction comes for you, I think. Is now that you know that actually you're helping people, and you know you've helped yourself with it.
Yeah, and it's keeping me on that straight and narrow, and keeping me happy and sane, and being able to deal with the kids. Yeah. But it's
it's funny because you do laugh, but literally, like I have the same thing, mate.
Been there, mate. Done that. More grown up. We've got the grandkids.
I was
going
to say you've got the grandkids now. Yeah, you can post them back later.
Oh yeah, they literally go. I'm like that. Right. Yeah. 5 o'clock. Yeah. Yeah. We're on our way.
And I'm very grateful for everything that I went through. The bankruptcy that I went through taught me to sharpen my pencil with money and things like that.
Do you not look back on that? You've dealt with that?
Yeah, I have dealt with that. It's like I was saying before that I went on this night out and I was always angry with it and like, why have these people done this to me? And I was holding that and holding it all the time.
And that can just devour you itself, can't it?
And I got a couple of bits of advice on it. So the on nights out, really. One of the guys said, yeah, but look at it as an education. It was £120,000 education you've had. I was like, oh yeah, actually.
He had £3,000 and never did it.
Come on, Screwfeaks.
So as you know, myself and Pete, we always want to try and give back to the people that watch and listen to the show. So we've done you an absolute solid. We've got loads of discounts from top name brands all across the internet. So if you want to save some money on tools, software, tool bags, accessories, then go and check out our discount page, which is just located here. Hopefully there's a saving on there for you, and that's a little bit of a thank you from myself and Pete for supporting the channel.
So this part of the show, we've obviously listened to, you know, the great stories that you both got, and we sort of do, we call it the Jerry Springer final thought. So something where you might want to plug your socials, you might want to turn around and say, well, I've got this bit of advice. Obviously some of the stuff that you're going to say will be like, you know, be like sort of proper biblical type of stuff, which might, some people might actually need to hear it. Do you know what I mean? But if you've got any advice, any future stuff that you want to do, plug your socials.
I would just say thanks for being on.
I just want to, like, thank you for coming on.
Such a good stretch, isn't it? I just want to thank everyone. I was waiting for you to do your Kanye. I want to thank God. I want to thank my publicist. I want to thank my PR lady. I want to thank everybody.
Have a think. We'll go to Rob. Rob might inspire you.
I guess final thoughts for me is that if you are listening to this podcast or watching the podcast and you are in a place where you feel like you need a little bit of help and support, it's absolutely help and support out there. There's people waiting to listen to what you've got to say, and no matter how deep or how dark the problem is that you feel like you're going through, it always, always, always gets better. There is a solution for everything, and there is a problem that there isn't a problem that cannot be solved. I promise you. I absolutely promise you.
So, I mean, for anybody listening or watching, you know, just tell people what your handle is on social, because if somebody is having a bit of a tough time or watching this, like, I just want you to sort of still plug it.
Yeah.
Because I feel that somebody that might be listening and they need a bit of help, obviously they can always come through to yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I can I can direct them in the way. You can search me on all the socials at MYH Podcast. On YouTube, Instagram, not on Twitter.
Are you on TikTok yet?
I'm on TikTok.
TikTok's interesting.
It's a struggle, you know, TikTok, because they used to silence all my videos because I'd mention suicide. So it just silenced it, or they'd take it down.
I think the problem with social media as well now is because Facebook got really done for the amount of shit that was on there about like people going kill yourself and all that sort of stuff. I think they've gone too far the other way. You know, anything where it is sort of what you're doing should be championed, and potentially, like, if there is like a, you know, like Lighthouse do certain stuff with different sort of types of construction throughout the year. It should be sort of like if it's construction, if there's a construction week or a National Tradesman Day, it should be pushed.
Yeah, absolutely. The Lighthouse charity do phenomenal work for our industry. Phenomenal stuff they run. 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week helpline, tech service and app, they're all the same thing.
I mean, I caught up with you, was it this year? Last year. Where you was touring the country, weren't you? There was you and a few of the Lighthouse.
That was the first tour we did for the Lighthouse. We've now, I'm away again, not next week, the week after. That'll be our fourth or fifth one. So basically, we go around the country with that brightly coloured van that's outside, going to different sort of building sites, merchants, big, small, medium stuff. You met me on the HS2 side.
Yeah, the HS2. And you look at that, when I turned up there, there's, you know, proper big guys, HS2, ripping
get controversial now, ripping through the countryside.
Yeah, yeah.
But that you sat in a room, and I got there, you had 150 blokes sat in a room, and there was three or four of you there just speaking.
Yeah,
and when I got there, they were just leaving, but the amount of blokes that stayed after to speak to you about what you had been saying was brilliant.
Does that get set up actually through Lighthouse? Because trying to get into some of these places as well where, you know, especially where it's potentially a government project as well, I find it so like disheartening sometimes when you're trying to get in to do things with some of these places.
So the Lighthouse have a lot of partners, businesses from the tier one all the way down to your local builder down the road who they either do money raising for them or they'll support the charity in different ways throughout the year, and that's where the tours come in. So they will speak to their contacts, they'll put an email shot out saying that we are going to be in your area in these months, if you'd like us to come and visit you can apply here. And you get a picture of me and Matt. It's quite literally me and Matt like that, and I've got
have you got a thumbs up as well?
Yeah.
Oh no.
They're like, oh god,
Matt's got the cheesiest grin on his face, and they'll say, oh, can you come to our site? And Rob Lynch got us on that one. So Lynch Plant Hire got us down there. Actually, he came to see us when I was at Hillhurst Show last week, and I missed him, and he left me a nice handwritten note, so that's good.
Yeah. That's appreciation, though, isn't it?
It is,
what you're doing.
Yeah. It's massive. It's massive, this now, what I'm doing. I have to pinch myself a lot of the time and think, I've actually made this happen, and things are going in the way that I'd like to see, and it's continuing to grow, and it's... I said it the other day. I said that I retired at 37 because what I'm doing now is not work.
Yeah. But it's like what you said, Rob. Your thing is just start a conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
It? That's your thing. Just speak to, walk past the plaster on site. If he's not looking great, you're right, mate.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be about anything in particular.
Yeah.
But he just might be having a shit day.
Yeah.
All right, mate. All right. Straight away.
That's it. And like, when I used to run teams of guys, I used to go out in the morning, make sure they were working safe, or whatever contract we're working for, was it Start Right or Safe Start or one of the things that I had to fill in. And I'd get a vibe off them and they'd never say to me, I'm feeling rubbish. Yeah, I'm all right. So I'd make a mental note to that. I'd have to come back to them. I'd go out, do my rounds and come back, and I'd start talking to them about anything. Like, and I'd show a bit of vulnerability, saying that I'm struggling a bit with this. What do you think about this and that and that? And that generally started the conversation, and that gave them the confidence to start talking. And a lot of the time, they turn around and say, "Well, I'm struggling with this, and I'm going through this, and I've had this."
You're just giving them that little bit to go right.
And that there's been conversations that I've had with some people that I've worked with, and they've gone to, "I can't believe I said that to you." I'm like, "Yeah, but do you feel better for it?" And they're like, "Yeah, absolutely, I do." I'm like, right, come on, dickhead, back to work.
I did feel better then. Come here, dickhead.
but this is it. I do a lot of debunking for the medical mojo, blah, blah, that comes out. And I just try, like, the way I run my social media is I try and do it construction related with the message that comes across, and in a way that can... people within the industry can understand. So I put a reel up yesterday about taking a break. Like Mr. Mahoney, he never stops for a break.
And he spoke to Ash the night, actually.
Yeah. And people push themselves and push.
He was working, he didn't break. Cracking on.
He's got a week off next week. Yeah, I've got some stuff to do. Because he still needs to do the coping stones on the top of me. Is it coping?
Yeah,
the coping stones on the top of my wall outside the front of the house. But no, I just want to say, for myself personally, like, we have loads of different guests on.
Yeah.
But I love listening to people that actually, it's sort of, they're trying to give back to the trade industry without really asking for anything in return, because there's not many people that do that. So like, from me personally, I think what you're doing is great for trades and for people. So keep up the good work. Are we going to go back to you? Have you got your final thought? Have you got your speech written?
I've got it.
You got it? You ready?
Ready? We were ready for this.
Just texted him? Say this. Oh, so I would just like to thank the person to my left, the person to my right. Right, ready?
Final thoughts. I would say it's like, if you're an apprentice or something that's listening to this and like you want to achieve a goal and start a business and that, like, go for it. Like, you can definitely do it, but it will be tough and there will be times where you will be feeling down. And I think it's like asking for help is important, because if I never asked for help, I think I'd probably be struggling. If I, well, last year when I hurt my hand, if I'd never told Jody, like, you need to quit your job, by the way, or like, it would not work. Do you know what I mean?
I think the thing I always try and I really want to like drill into apprentices is that you're gonna have times where you just think, I'm fucking, I am in anything, I am done, I'm not going and doing this. But obviously, I love having people like yourself on where it's just like, for some reason, you just keep ploughing through it.
There were so many times during my apprenticeship, like, I hated working with certain tradesmen. I was like, he's a prick. But,
that plaster you were talking about.
So that's what it is. You just need to keep going. You need to be a wee bit resilient and you'll get there.
Because you'll wonder why I dragged that last final thought out of you, but it's good for people that are similar age to you, that aren't far off finishing their apprenticeship, to hear it from you. Like, I could say it and people are like, what a bellend. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm not in that situation. So I think it's important that people...
Because people message us all the time, like, oh, I'm thinking about quitting this company or whatever, and I'm like, just stick it out. 4 years... Just learn what you need to learn, and then it's a trade for life.
Considering how quick it's gone during COVID, 4 years is not a long time.
No, it's not. No.
It's not a long time.
That's it.
But I suppose everybody's situation's different. But if you're getting like £75 a week for some people, it's just just not viable. So, but thank you very much for coming on. Like, it's, you know, Screwfix numero uno as well. It's like, it's not every day that I have two completely different guests on, but two guests that, like, I think are both doing great things. Yeah. So thank you for me, and
thanks, guys.
Thank you for filling in for Pete. Right. I didn't even notice he'd gone. I actually preferred doing it with you. Sorry, Pete, you're sacked. Pete?
Don't, he'll come at me. He'll come for me.
So yeah, thank you very much, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Now the lady can go and get some food.
If you like listening to Al talk over all the guests, if you've enjoyed this episode of Trade Legends, listening to Al talk over everybody else and people banging on the desk, if you've enjoyed listening to and watching today, you're fucking gonna just stay still one space just for a minute.
If you've enjoyed watching this, blah 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 blah. Okay, right, 3, 2, 1, go.
So I'll just not do it. Oh. Yeah, sure. I'm gonna shut up for just like a minute. If you've enjoyed listening and watching today's Trade Legends podcast, please subscribe to our channel. It'll really help us out. We're a new podcast. We want to do big things. And you subscribing, hitting the little bell so you get notifications, be just great. Thank you.
Hitting the little bell? I was like, ding, 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 ding.
There is a little bell in there.